Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It happens to just about all of us. You're at the post office or in the grocery store, and all of a sudden, you need to use the restroom. But with no public restroom in sight, you ask an employee as politely as you can if you can use the staff bathroom. Sometimes, maybe too often, you get turned away. Now, for most of us, this is an uncomfortable but manageable inconvenience. But for some people living with certain health conditions, it can be a real problem. We're talking about folks who suffer from inflammatory bowel disease, such as Crohn's or colitis. Well, a new law signed recently by Governor Deval Patrick offers some relief for these people. It's called the Restroom Access Bill. And Rachel Zimmerman wrote about it on WBUR's Common Health blog. And Rachel, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony, for having me.
So before we talk about what this law actually does, remind us what Crohn's disease and colitis are and how common they are.
Well, Crohn's disease and colitis both involve chronic inflammation of the GI tract. Symptoms can include chronic abdominal pain, fatigue, weight loss, bloody stools, and what's relevant to this conversation, a constant, powerful urge to have a bowel movement. And this generally inflammatory bowel disease affects about 1.4 million people in the U.S. And interestingly, about 10% of the IBD sufferers are under the age of 18.
And tell us what the restroom access bill would do for them.
Well, under the new Massachusetts law, businesses with at least 3 employees on duty must allow anyone with Crohn's, colitis, irritable bowel disease, really any medical condition that involves an urgent need to use the restroom, to use an employee-only bathroom if public facilities aren't readily accessible. Now, to qualify, so to speak, for this, the person who needs the bathroom must have a valid doctor's note or an approved ID card verifying their condition. And if shop owners deny a valid request, they can be fined $100.
So this brings us to the story of 16-year-old Katie Rutley of Sharon, Massachusetts, who has ulcerative colitis. Can you tell us her story?
The story begins when Katie was 8 years old. Shortly after her diagnosis, she was shopping with her mom at an Ocean State job lot, and her mother was in another part of the store, and she suddenly had an urge to use the restroom. So she finds an employee and asks if she can please use the bathroom and explains minimally why she needs it. And the employee responds, as they often do, saying, "Sorry, it's an employee-only bathroom. You can't use it." So imagine a nervous, shy 8-year-old being denied access. So she was very upset. She did ultimately find her mother, and her mother intervened and explained her daughter's condition, and ultimately she was allowed to use it. But it was a profoundly embarrassing experience. So she went home feeling awful, and she immediately told the story to her father.
And her father, Jonathan Rutley, is actually with us right now. And Jonathan, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thank you very much, Anthony, and hello, Rachel.
Hi.
So, Jonathan, you had a lot to do with crafting this legislation right after that particular incident that Rachel was just describing at Ocean State Job Lot. So what was the next step? What did you actually do to get this law into the hands of legislators?
I did some research into the Mass General Laws, brought it to my representative, Lewis Kafka of Sharon, who sponsored the legislation for us. And we started off right away getting the bill filed. And several months later, the committee holds a public hearing.
I want to ask you, Jonathan, just in your own words, I mean, obviously there's a real personal dimension here. Why is this so important to you, this particular law?
It was a sense of fairness. It was a sense of an 8-year-old who tried to explain herself, but yet an adult had to intervene and rather forcefully, I think, if I know her mother well enough by now.
And you should.
to gain some access to, just basic human dignity.
One of the reasons this story was so compelling to me, really, was because it may seem like a very small, sort of marginal kind of law, unless you've been through this and you have a kid who was publicly humiliated in this way. And I think one of the reasons this law took so long to pass was as lawmakers and others began to know people with these diseases. It's always the way. You know, you have a personal experience with someone, and suddenly you understand why this is so very important.
And Jonathan, I understand that there was something of a convergence of events that helped get this bill finally signed by the governor, including a letter to Massachusetts senators from the lead guitarist of Pearl Jam, as well as a letter to Governor Patrick from Mayor Menino, who also suffers from Crohn's disease.
This year, I was very fortunate to join up with a gentleman named Steve Marcus, who suffers from this disease, who assisted me with educating the Senate. It began to snowball until we were up at 16 or 17 commitments from senators to support the bill.
I do think that sort of as these celebrities speak out, it becomes less taboo. And Mike McCready's letter to senators, I think.
This is Mike McCready of Pearl Jam.
Right. He wrote a letter to Massachusetts senators where he said his band was opening for the Rolling Stones and he was sitting in a porta potty because of his Crohn's disease.
And this might be the first time that Mayor Menino actually went public with his letter. It takes a bit to get over that privacy. It's really very private, man.
Right, but less so. And with Massachusetts being the 13th state to pass this, there's now a movement to get a similar kind of access bill embedded in the Americans with Disabilities Act so that there would be uniformity across states and this would become a national law.
Well, let me ask you about that, Jonathan, because I understand that the final law includes certain provisions to address the concerns of businesses and retailers. So what are those? How are those concerns being addressed?
Well, initially, when I drafted the bill 6 years ago, it was very sort of, if you will, basic. And I had no idea what the commercial establishment's opposition or reasons would be. And as we went along, and they did have some valid reasons, we crafted protections for them into the bill, whether that be liability as far as negligence is concerned, not to have to remodel their employee bathrooms because of this, if they could deny somebody for safety reasons or security reasons, therefore drugstores would be exempt because most of those facilities are behind where the drugs are stored or in near proximity. And this year, we increased the amount of employees that would have to be on duty from 2 to 3 employees to, again, allow certain security concerns or just being able to assist and monitor an individual to get to that bathroom. So I think perhaps we crafted the best bill possible, and it was just time to give the protections to individuals who need them and allow them the access to the facilities. My daughter, who's in remission now, it's sort of a vindication. She brought the challenge because she didn't want youngsters behind her to have to have the same experiences.
Well, Jonathan Rutley, thanks so much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Anthony and Rachel, I appreciate it very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity for Katie to have done all of this for herself, too.
Well, good luck to you. And Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog, thanks so much for bringing this to our attention. We're grateful to have you in as well.
Thanks, Anthony.
And listeners, you can find a link to Rachel's story about the restroom access bill at our website, radioboston.org.
Coming up, some good news about greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.